Pete's going to read a poem that he has for us. So we're going to close with a poem at the end about, I think it's IOU. Is that what it's titled, Pete? IOU? Nah, what we owe to our moms. We're going to have any prayer requests this morning that you need prayer for? Is anybody in the parking lot this morning? Okay. Joy has a praise. I'm not going to get the microphone. She can project.
Well, last night I got a call from my sister. It was about 11:30. And I was in the shower, and my husband... Well, she had a flat tire on the interstate, she said, last night, going to my mother's in Springfield, who wasn't feeling well. So on their way, her husband and her and their dog, they came across something in the road, and they hit it, and they lost a little control, but never wrecked, thank God. When the highway patrol, there was another wreck that occurred before them, just before them, and what happened, a dune buggy fell off the back of the trailer, and another car hit it, and my sister and her husband hit some debris from that dune buggy. But thank God everybody was okay, but that dune buggy, I hope they can trace back to who it belonged to, because that could have been fatal with all the semis that went buzzing by us, about 80, it seemed like. Probably only 65 or 70, but it seems like they're faster. But I just want to pray for the Lord. Yesterday, my sister had a very hard day. Before that happened, she fell down four steps in her, going up her stairs. She fell down four of them, and she's 66. She's older than I am. So, you know, just falling down that many stairs at that age, I'm just thankful that nothing serious happened there. So poor Joni, poor sister. But I want to praise the Lord, because, you know, he was watching over that whole area. The highway patrol said this could have been a really bad thing. So I know the Lord, even though it happened, he still prevented a lot of things that could have went wrong. So I just want to praise him. Thank you, Lord.
Good.
My friend Wanda couldn't be here, but she asked that we pray. She has a daughter whose heart is at an accelerated speed, and they're going to have her wear a heart monitor for her. So she asked that we pray about that.
So Wanda's daughter has an accelerated heartbeat, so she's going to wear a monitor. So pray for Wanda's daughter. Granddaughter has the head that's not closed up yet, and her sister, salvation, and her husband, heart disease, right? Alzheimer's disease.
Parkinson's.
Okay. Alex. Alex has a friend that wants to learn about Christ, which is an exciting thing, isn't it? So pray for her to be able to share with her and lead her to a knowledge of the Lord. So you're not going to hear Ernie unless I get a microphone. So
this time I ask God, let me say something. Here's what I wish for all of you, that you would let the Holy Spirit use you, speak to you, direct you, help you, more than anything else, to witness to your family, forget the rest of the other folks right now, but your family, And I'll take my mother. My father was an alcoholic. She lived with him because of me. She did that for me. I want to say this to you with all love. Let God speak to you. Let God use you to witness. I'm going to say one thing. I was sitting in the first watch, and this couple came in. I've told you this before, but I use it for a reason. And they sat down with me, and they said nothing to each other. And the Holy Spirit said, speak to them. I didn't. The Holy Spirit said, speak to them. I didn't. The Holy Spirit, speak to them. I didn't. He gets up to go to the bathroom, and I said to her, is your husband a policeman? She says, no, he's a minister. So that broke the ice, and we were talking. And as we talked, tears came down her eyes. They were from Kentucky. They went home, and they called back. And the lady that works with me, I guess my meal, she answered the phone, so she knew what I ate. And do you know something? They paid for my meal for a week. What I'm trying to say is, like Charles Stanley, have you prayed for 10 minutes this week? Have you prayed for 5 minutes? Have you witnessed anybody? I'm going to say something now you won't like. It's later than you think.
Anybody else?
And he's starting to have some signs and symptoms that's kind of active again, so just keep prayer.
So Lexi's getting some test done, and Jared with his Crohn's is acting up, so I'll pray for that. Lexi and Jared. Anything else?
It's not easy. And we've been praying, actually, for him, but She's pretty bad with it, but the medicine that she needed, and I believe God can heal today, but he sometimes uses doctors and medication, and the medicine that is for Crohn's, I don't know if you've ever priced it out, but it's ridiculous, and it's elite. I don't know how people can afford it, and for some reason, it was like tens of thousands of dollars a year, and you know this is life altering and could be fatal disease, and so my prayers are with you guys. She got it somehow through my stepdad's work that they're going to pay for that medicine for the rest of her life, and this is like hundreds of thousands of dollars if you add it up. So like that's a huge praise, because I get to. I mean, I have my mama, and know that one less burden of hers and one less pain is you know something we care and worry about. And another thing, Carter, he had his thumb surgery this last week, and it was scary, but he came through. We had a couple of days where there were high temperatures, or not high temperatures, but to mama, it's high temperatures, and he's actually doing pretty well. He's a pretty spunky little boy, but he's home resting today. But thank you for prayers, and praise God for answered prayers, and prayers we don't even pray, he answers. So thanks, God.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, just thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for our mothers, Lord, that brought us in the world and raised us, and most of them tried the best that they could do. We know that we're not perfect, and they weren't perfect, Lord, but we appreciate what they've done for us and what they do for us and the memories we have of them. God, may this special day we honor them today. Father, be with these requests, Lord, for health that's happening with Lexi and Jared and brother-in-laws and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles and the different ones that weren't even mentioned probably, Lord. But we just pray for each one of these requests that were made for this little baby that the soft spot hasn't healed up yet, has to wear a helmet and these different things. Lord, you know all these things. We just pray you'd be with them. Pray for your guidance and your direction in their lives and pray for salvation. Lord, for that's the way they're going to be healed eternally, is to be saved by you. So we know this world, Lord, we face all kinds of terrible things. We have sicknesses, we have diseases, we have disappointments, we have abuses, Lord, but we know you're there with us through those to help us get through, to guide and direct us, help us be witnesses in all these circumstances that we can. Show us how to be more like you. We know at times we fail, but we can learn from those times and we can hopefully grow stronger in our faith and be more like you. So help us to show love to our families today as we go home from the service at the end. We can tell them that we care about them. We know sometimes people don't speak their love. They just assume that they know it. But Lord, let us speak love today, that we love others. And it's because we love you that we can love them even more. So Lord, may this be a special day for all the moms and those who may not have kids of their own, but they're moms to others. And for the women out there and the girls, Lord, to know that they're specially made by you and that you've made them gentle and humble and loving and soft and caring. And also strong. Lord, so we just pray for each one of these. Pray for this service as we continue on, as we prepare for communion, as we take up the offering, and as we close at the end. We just pray for all these things in your name. Amen. Just take a few minutes and quiet yourself. Ask the Lord what he wants from you this morning. As you've come this morning to be with him, to commune, to fellowship, to remember what he's done for you. As we pass out the elements, if there's something in your life you need to make right, then make it right this morning. If there's a request you have, then make it known to him. As we remember that he died on the cross for us, he gave his body and his blood for us, and then we'll partake together as a group, as a family. Family. So 1 Kings is where we're going to be at, first chapter 17. And I didn't put all the verses up because my wife and I talked and said, we need to start using our Bibles in the church and not just you put it on the screen every week. So I put it on the screen every week, and I didn't do it this week. So you have to use your phone. If you have a phone, you can do that or use your Bible. 1 Kings 17, 1 through 16, I'm going to read that. Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there'll be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food." Ever been supplied with food from ravens? I don't think the ravens were the food. I think the ravens brought the food. Berries or whatever he ate, but they provided for him. So he did what the Lord told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came to him and said, "Go to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and asked, "Would you bring me a little jar of water so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me a piece please bring me a piece of bread. So think about that. There's a drought in the land. The brook is dried up. There's not really food and water to be had. But he goes to this widow who was somebody's mother, wasn't she? Why did he go to this widow? I believe for two reasons. He needed food, and she needed a miracle. He needed food, she needed a miracle. That's why he went there. She was trying to survive with her son. There was a drought, and it'd take a miracle to save her and her son. But Elijah asked her for some food and drink. You would think he would go to a rich person, wouldn't he? Or a farmer or somebody, but not a widow. But like most mothers, she was willing to help as much as she could. Elijah was told by the Lord that she would provide food, but she didn't know it yet, did she? She's going to give you food, but she didn't know that because she was getting ready for her last meal with her son. But when he asked her for a drink, she starts off to get the drink, and then she says to Elijah, "Surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug, and I'm gathering sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Pretty serious, isn't it? I don't have anything. I've got a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. We're getting ready to die because we have nothing. She tells Elijah, basically, my cupboard's bare. There's nothing left. It's on her last bit of oil, but she's determined to make a meal for her son. She doesn't complain. She just states the facts. She's gathering sticks to start a fire to cook a good meal. So a good mother, she's doing the best she can to take care of her family. How many times have you heard in your past, 8 o'clock at night, when your kid says to you, "I need 3 dozen cookies for school tomorrow"? You're like, "What? It's 8 o'clock at night. Why didn't you tell me this earlier? I forgot." So what does mom do? She scrounges around the cupboards, tries to find whatever she can, or goes to the store if it's still open. Takes every little bit of flour or whatever she has to make these cookies for her son because she wants to support him. She wants to supply. She wants to help him out the best she can. Well, this mother's going to do all she can in order to cook her son, cook a meal for her son. She's going to take care of him as long as she can. But a good mother loves to take care of others too, doesn't she? She's the one that the neighbor kids come to the house and passes out all the food. And when daddy gets home for supper, he's like, "Where's all the food?" "Well, the neighbor kids were over today." I'm like, "What? Well, oh, good, dear. That's very nice of you to think of the neighbor kids." But a good mother thinks of her kids, doesn't she? She's the one that doesn't want a piece of pie at the end of the meal when there's only 3 pieces left and 4 people. Mom's all of a sudden, "I'm not very hungry." That's the kind of mother this mother was. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." Think of that. You got a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. He tells you to use it, but it's not going to be used up. That's pretty hard to comprehend, isn't it? It's not going to be used up. Make stuff for me first, and then make stuff for yourself, and it's not going to run out. He tells her basically God's going to provide. If she feeds him first, there's going to be enough to supply all she needs and her son until it rains again. Whatever that's going to be, he's going to supply enough. That mother had faith, didn't she? She put faith above her son, put faith above her family. And she took his word for it that God's going to supply. She says, "There's not even enough food for a day. But I'm being asked to trust this man of God to make bread for him and then for me and my son. It's not going to run out." But she listened to his instruction. You know, plenty of people want to tell you what to do, don't they? Her friends are like, "What's wrong with you? You have to get a meal for your son and yourself. Don't. What are you feeding this guy for?" She would have said, "Because God told me to." We make decisions and plans in our lives sometimes that people ask us, "Why are you doing that?" "Because God told me to do it." "Well, I don't agree." "Well, I don't care if you agree. If God said do it, it's what I'm supposed to do, whether other people agree or not." So she made the bread for Elijah and for her son. So she went away and did as Elijah told her. She went to her cupboard, took out the flour and oil, and began to bake. And because she obeyed the Lord, there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. The jar of flour was never used up, and the oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word the Lord had spoken. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? People think these are fairy tales. These are miracles that God did and left for us so that we can see what he can do if you give him what you have. A little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. I'm going to make this stuff last until we get rain. And I'm sure when it was done, she told her friends, you know what, I only had this much oil, this much flour, and I've been cooking on this the whole time. And I kept feeding three of us. That's just an amazing miracle we don't look at. That God supplied because she gave it to him. She could have said, nope, sorry, can't do it. And her and her son would have died. But because she gave it to the Lord, what she had, she made it through. Here's another story of a mother in her cupboard. This involves Elisha. Elisha was Elijah's student. For 6 years, he was under him learning. It's interesting to see the similarities in the two stories that we have. This is in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. It says, now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be slaves. Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house? She said, your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. So here you have a mother, a wife. Her husband's passed away. He was a prophet, or son's one of the prophets. He was a godly man, but he probably didn't make much money because he had nothing when he died. He had credits. He had things he owed. He had people that he had to pay. And they were going to come and take his kids to pay for his debt. You think if we did that today, there'd be less debt in the country? You don't pay, I'm taking your kids. Okay, I'm paying. They were going to take the kids. The wife went to Elisha and asked for help. And he says, what do you want me to do? Basically, he says, what do you have in your cupboard? A jar of oil. That's it. My cupboard's bare. All I have is a jar of oil. So, Mom, what's in your cupboard? Do you have anything? She doesn't say, I have flour, I have rice, I have lamb. All she says is, I have a jar of oil. I have no money, no food, nothing else. But Elisha was there representing the Lord, and he said, go outside, borrow the vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, but not too few. You're like, what? Why am I collecting jars? I have a little bit of oil. You want me to go collect jars? So I go to my neighbors. Hey, can I borrow a jar from you? Can I borrow one? How many jars do you have? Any extra? So they go home, take them home. She's probably wondering, why in the world am I collecting jars? And he says, don't get too few. That means get a lot. Get a lot of jars. She goes home, puts all these jars in her house. She's like, okay, my cupboard's bare. I got all these jars. I can't eat the jars. But here they are. She simply obeyed and did what he told her to do and trusted him. How many moms today don't have much in their cupboards? Wonder where their next meal is going to come from. What am I going to feed my kids? How many of them seek answers from the Lord? Say, God, I need help. I need to know where I'm going to get my next meal for my kids. I need to know where I'm going to get the money to pay for this. I need to know where this is going to get me to get the medicine that I need. But God can still do miracles if we offer ourselves to him. God, I need help. We all expect to be healed in this life, don't we? All things are going to happen now. He promises healing, but it doesn't say it's going to happen now. He says, I'll heal you. Sometimes it's now, sometimes it's later. Right? But it's going to happen ultimately. When somebody passes on from cancer or whatever, we can say, you know what? God healed them. Didn't heal them here, but he healed them there. And maybe use them for a testimony saying, I'm walking with the Lord through this. And I'm making it through because he's there with me. And I'm going to be a living testimony as long as I'm here to be able to share. So he says there, then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. So Mom, go home, shut the door, take your sons, take out your jar and start pouring into the jars that you collected. That's still hard for me to imagine. I got a little oil, and I pour it in this jar, and all of a sudden I'm done. I look, and there's still oil in the jar. And then I pour in the next one, and there's still oil in my jar. And I'm like, where is this coming from? She keeps pouring and pouring and pouring. And it said she poured oil in the jars until there was not another vessel. She filled every jar that she collected, and the oil only stopped when the jars were full. So God provided, and he provided and provided based on how many jars she collected. So she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay all your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest. So she obeyed him, didn't she? She kept filling up jars. And what that did was it supplied for her to pay all her debts, to keep her sons, and to have enough food basically for the rest of their life. That'll provide for you and your sons. That's going to provide for them, the oil that she was able to sell. You think Elisha was surprised at that? He's like, oh, wow, I didn't know God could do that. I think he knew it was going to happen. I think she was surprised at what God could do. She was a widow with no money, two kids, creditors coming, and God supplied her needs. That's a lot of times why we share on Sunday morning what God's done for you and ask for testimonies, to tell how God has done something for you so other people can be encouraged and say, look what God has done for me. But here's another widow. Elijah had one, right, with oil and flour. Elisha has one now with oil. They're both provided for. They both spoke the word of the Lord. The widow had a trust in each case that God would provide. Robert Campbell notes that this woman found the answer to her need in her own home. Didn't have to go out and look for it. The answer was there in her own home. Elijah's question is a good one for mothers and is a good one for us. What do you have that God can use? What has God given you that you can already use for him, that he supplied, that you might have right at home that you can use? When the widow asked, God provided for her needs from what she already had, the jar of oil. And God provided enough to pay off all her debts. So in both instances, we have two women that are alone with kids, and neither one had anything. Basically, their cupboards were bare. If you went and looked at somebody's cupboard today and all they had was a little bit of flour and oil, you'd say, man, there's nothing there. Or just a jar of oil. They don't have anything. But then God provided out of what they had. Their future looked grim until God stepped in. He filled their cupboards. He filled their hearts of their kids. He left them with stories of God's provision. Because they obeyed, they were taken care of. We can know that whatever we have is enough for God to use for his purposes. Sometimes we feel like we're not enough. I'm just not enough. I can't do it. God said, you're right, you can't do it alone, but with me you can do anything. Look at all the characters in the Bible. Were any of those characters perfect besides Christ? They all had flaws, they all had problems, they all had issues, they all had times when they probably thought, why are you picking me for this? A lot of times it's because you're willing. Because you're willing to be used, so I'm going to pick you. Maybe you feel like your cupboard's bare. Man, I've got nothing. I got nothing to give you, God. And he says, well, if you'll just give it to me, I'll fill it. Give me what you have, and I'll multiply it. It's Mother's Day. We're grateful for our moms, especially those who have passed on, that had faith in the Lord, that passed it on to us. Our hope is to pass our faith on to our kids, and then their kids, and their kids, and their kids. Maybe you're in a family that's never known Christ. Well, that can start with you. Your kids can have a faith because of you, because of what you share. You can't make them have faith, but you can be an example of faith. Maybe your cupboard was bare as a kid, spiritually, but now your cupboard is full, and you can show your kids what God has done for you. Maybe your mother wasn't that great, but maybe you can be a different mother to your kids. You may be a single dad. You've got to fill in that spot somehow, don't you? Take them to their grandmother, take them to other women that they can get mentored. Be an example to your kids and your grandkids and your relatives and give it to God and he'll make a way. If your cupboard's bare, God can fill it. You need to ask him. God, I need this. I need help. We want a lot of things, but how many things do we actually really need? Ask God for your needs. Pete's going to come and share a poem called I Owe You. You want to stand or do you want just to hold it?
Leave it on the stand.
Oh, he's scared. He wants to stand.
I got to read this.
He's nervous, folks. He's nervous. Is that good?
Yeah.
Wait. That's good.
Well, I guess, yeah, okay, I hear it. I just wanted to honor our mothers today. It's with a poem that I've had for a long time. It's called I Owe You, and it's by Jimmy Dean. And they have a little opening before the poem. You know, most people look through their wallets or their pocketbooks and way down at the bottom, past their credit cards and the baby pictures and green stamps, you can usually find a little old dog-eared piece of poetry of some kind. Well, this is a dog-eared piece of poetry. I've had it a long time. I was cleaning out my wallet the other day, and I ran across a whole bunch of IOUs, some of them 30 years overdue. Well, my case, 50 or 60. And the funny thing about it is that all these IOUs are owed to one person, and I just kind of thought maybe now might be a pretty good time for an accounting. Okay, Mom, are you listening? Mom, I owe you for so many things, a lot of different services, like night watchman, for instance, for lying awake at night listening for coughs, cries, and creaking floorboards, and me coming in too late. Oh, you had the eye of an eagle, the roar of a lion, but yeah, always a heart as big as a house. I owe you for services as a short-ordered cook, chef, baker, for making sirloin out of hamburger, turkey out of tuna fish, and big old strapping boys out of leftovers. I owe you for cleaning services, for the daily scrubbing of a face and ears, all work done by hand, and for the frequent dusting of a small boy's pants to try to make sure that he leads a spotless life, and for washing and ironing that no launderer could ever do, for drying the tears of childhood and for ironing out the problems of growing up. I owe you for services as a bodyguard, protecting me from the terrors of thunderstorms and nightmares and too many green apples. And Lord knows I owe you for medical attention, for nursing me through measles, mumps, bruises, bumps, splinters, and spring fever. And let's not forget medical attention either. Oh no, important things like, if you don't quit scratching, that ain't gonna ever get well. And if you cross your eyes like that, they're gonna stick that way. The most important was, boy, be sure you got on clean underwear in case you're in an accident. And I owe you for veterinary services, for feeding every lost dog that I dragged home at the end of a rope, for healing the pains of puppy love. And I owe you for entertainment that kept the household going through some pretty tough times. The wonderful productions at the 4th of July, Christmas, birthdays, and for somehow making make-believe come true on a very limited budget. I owe you for construction work, for building kites and confidence and hopes and dreams, and somehow you made them all touch the sky, and for cementing together a family so that it could stand the worst kinds of shocks and blows, and for laying down the good, strong foundation to build a life on. I owe you for carrying charges, for carrying me on your books for the necessities of life, things that a growing boy just gotta have. Things like a pair of high-top boots with a little pocket on the side for a jackknife. And one thing, Mom, I will never, ever forget that when there was only two pieces of apple pie and three hungry people, I noticed that you were always the one that suddenly decided that you really weren't hungry anyhow. These are just a few of the things for which payment is long overdue. The person I owe them to worked very, very cheap. She managed simply by doing without a whole lot of things that she needed herself. My IOUs add up to much more than I could ever, ever hope to repay. But you know the nice thing about it all is that I know that she'll mark the whole bill paid in full just for one kiss and four little words. I love you, Mom. Thank you.
Thanks, Pete. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our mothers that you've given us. Lord, for giving us strength and guidance and direction. Lord, for bringing us up the best that they could. Father, we pray for salvation for those moms who don't know you, those grandmothers, for those here that may not know you as well. Thank you for what you've done. May we honor our mothers today that are here and have good memories of those who have gone on in your name. Amen.
Join me in the last chorus of Holy Spirit. I was kind of frustrated. None of my songs went, and then I thought, you know what? Holy Spirit is always relevant and always pertinent. And Holy Spirit is who carries a mother in the middle of the night when she's nursing her baby and doing all those things that beautiful poem said. So we'll just sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Let us become.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Have an amazing day, an amazing week. Bless you on this Mother's Day.